So what I want to go through to start with today, team, was an awareness of that stress resilience space. This is a conversation that we've really had applied the whole way through day one and day two. Just getting an awareness of stress is always going to be something we need to be mindful of. And with these shifts in hormones and how our body is reacting differently to the outside world by what's happening internally, I think having a conversation around stress being a threshold but not a level, I think is really, really important, right? It's not we get to a certain level when we're stressed. It's that if we are not looking after ourselves, if we're not sleeping, if hormones are doing the ups and downs that they are doing, then that's going to impact how we are simply tolerating or not tolerating stress. So I think it really being able to control this is a really, really cool area that we can dive into a wee bit more. So first part I want to look at is kind of frame this with a study that kind of kicked this all off for us. It was a study done on mice that were put in a depressed state. It was done through simply a low-level stress that we're exposed to over a certain amount of time. And this is something that we're all exposed to, right? Low-level stress for a certain amount of time to the point that it gets accumulative enough that we need a holiday. So what they did is rather than getting to the point where mice were they were in this depressed state, rather than putting them on a little mouse holiday, what they did is actually expose them to short-term stress for around 5 minutes a day, right? So what this allowed for, which was super interesting, is it allowed them to create a discrepancy between this high-level stress and the stress that they were managing day-to-day, right? So rather than reducing the stress entirely, what they were doing is exposing them to a much higher level of stress, which meant that they tolerated the low-level stress much, much better, and it actually reversed the effects of this chronic stress, right? Now, this for me becomes a really, really cool conversation to have because now we're looking at the space of exercise. Ollie, why am I exercising if I'm already run down, I'm already tired, I'm already stressed? Why would I add in more training? Now, there's a component of this around circuit classes and certain cardio type movements that I think are adding to that stress state. But understanding there's an ability to expose our body to a certain type of stress that will actually improve our resilience and tolerance of stress overall, I think is really, really cool, right? It comes back to this whole conversation of being in control, feeling like you can actually work with your body to feel like you're a bit more battle tested, you're ready to rock through the stress that you are exposed to on a day-to-day basis. So where that really goes from here, I think the first area that I saw this come through was way back when I was doing triathlons. And I noticed that over time, as people were getting older, they were moving to longer and longer distance triathlons. And I couldn't wait to get to this point where I got old enough to feel like I could be really, really good at endurance. And it never really came around. And maybe I'm still waiting. But what was happening was people, and now that I've been able to look at this through a personal training lens and through an exercise lens, is that people don't get better in endurance as they get older. They simply get worse at sprint. They get worse at strength training, right? And this is massively perpetuated through the shifts in hormones that you're likely going through that we'll look through from a bone density and muscle tissue standpoint to make sure we're really building that strength and making sure we're protecting that as much as possible so we can be good in whatever sport or daily activity that really looks like. We have the strength to be in a position to tolerate that well. Okay, so there's typically two types of people, and I think being able to address both and then apply this to both, I think it would be helpful. First, we have the stress junkies, right? I'm going to fit in this category. The one that is always still seeking for more stuff to do is building or breaking things that my team are very aware of, and just sort of running through the day with projects or trying to fit as many things into the day, right? We don't really sit down. The second category are the stress avoiders, right? The ones that need to prepare, manage, disengage from stress. They're the ones that aren't going to do the spontaneous, let's just kind of leave today, we'll plan it, we'll go tomorrow, right? So the big part here that we look at through this lens is in both categories, that coping mechanism type of things, that calming of the nervous system, really feeling in tune with your body again is super beneficial. And we really mentioned that through the night routine and other components over the last couple of days. And really taking the time to address some of these. I think anchoring at least one of these into your day, whether that's taking the time to sit down and just breathe, whether that's going for a walk with your dog, whether that's a massage or yoga or something to really fit you back in your day. I think that's a huge part that we'll address more today. But the big one that we tend to really miss, and for me, this became a real lever in me being motivated to train again, right? Transparently, I got to a point in sort of business where things were just kind of getting on top of me. My energy was super low, and I just felt like there's a level of stress that just keep getting on top of me. So this gave me a whole new lens to look at exercise through where we start to look at how can I actually deal with this better? How can I feel like I'm showing up with the energy, the focus, the enjoyment like I used to, and I don't feel like life is just getting on top of me? This became a really, really good way to do it, which comes back to that first study, right? Which is starting to expose our body to high level stress for a very short amount of time to really feel like we're in control of the stress we're exposed to, and it allows everything else to feel a lot less in comparison. So a couple of examples of this doesn't need to mean you need to go sprint up hills every morning, is we could look at, you know, the cold shower therapy. We could look at some sort of breathing techniques. So all breathing techniques for calming the body are super beneficial, right? Like a really long exhale, whereas switching that on its head and doing a really long inhale and a fast exhale, we can actually look at heightening our body a bit more. You can kind of think Wim Hof in this space a little bit. There's plenty of them, but that's one that many people know. And then the last one, which we really like to dive into simply because of the additional benefits from a body composition standpoint, from a bone density standpoint, is looking at it through that lens of that resistance training as well. Okay, so if we're all used to potentially going for a run or doing a HIIT class or a circuit class, these, as we go through menopause, alongside certain thyroid conditions, we've certainly seen as being unhelpful some of the time to your body composition goals and energy, right? Because we're simply adding metabolic stress on top of everyday stress, that it just becomes this chronic midline stress. The goal of us here is trying to make sure, in order to improve that resilience and ultimately function of our body as a whole, is really expose ourselves to that high level stress for a very short period of time, right? Really blowing out the cobwebs. So being able to get under a bar and feel like we're using more muscles than just the bicep by itself, feeling like we're getting under a squat bar, or that we're even jumping on a rowing machine and doing a really short sort of 2-minute sprint. It's that point where we're really getting the body working in a short amount of time. And the problem is we have, you know, 30, 40 treadmills in a gym and 2 rowing machines for a reason. Most people are not willing to get their body up to a high level of exertion for a short amount of time. And that, I think, is where the biggest benefit and why this resilience training is something I want to add in, and why I think it's so important to even just this 3-part series, is really reframing how you look at exercise. I 100% of the time, I do exercise for my mental health, not my physical. The physical is a byproduct. And it really comes back to that resilience aspect. Mandy, we mentioned obviously hormones. This has a massive impact as well.
Yeah. The one thing is that one thing we really want to do over this time is make sure that our body is staying as sensitive as possible to our hormones in a way that's beneficial to us. And muscle mass is incredibly sensitive to hormonal changes, whether that's insulin, whether that's estrogen, whether that's your thyroid hormones, all of those hormones, our muscle mass is a key part of that. And what we lose through the process of going through menopause, as our estrogen is winding down and stuff, is we lose some of that ability to just build and maintain muscle mass quite so easily. So it becomes more of an important thing to actually spend some of your time focusing on. And something that maybe you didn't need to do when you were younger, that you can now put 20 minutes a day into now, will have a huge effect overall as far as your hormone sensitivity goes, but just general day-to-day and how you feel as well. And then that resilience component adds on top of that.
Yeah, and I think we can reinforce this all day long with certain studies around longevity and bone density and muscle tissue, all the rest with that aspect there. I think we should be really aware of those components. This one personally just ties the mental and the physical together really, really well. If just that resilience of your body handling the day really well, right? And knowing that that's improving your bone density, knowing it's improving your muscle tissue, and also the, you know, maintaining a high level metabolic rate without feeling like just stressing the body out more, I think that's a really, really important part. And when we're in that, you know, if we're one of the stress heads that's kind of running all day, it becomes a nice way to modulate that, because it's not just high all the time, but we're calming the body down between sets as opposed to just a full circuit. But then if we're in that place where we're more of the sort of stress reducers and trying to calm the whole time, it allows us to create that discrepancy, so we feel so much more calm when normal stresses come to us through the day. So I think that makes a really big difference as well.
The bone density perspective, that's actually just one that we should talk about there too, because obviously that's a real important consideration going into menopause, and just that loss of bone density and osteoporosis. And New Zealand statistics with osteoporosis are not so good for older women. But the thing that keeps your bones strong is your muscle pulling on the bone, because bones restructure and reform and build and strengthen themselves based on the pressure put on them. So they tell us to, you know, to lifting heavy things, putting pressure and weight on your bones is how you, one way you keep your bones strong, but another way you keep your bones strong is by keeping muscle mass there. Because when you're doing that resistance stuff where you're contracting the muscle and it's pulling on the bone, that's actually giving a reason for your bone to remodel and stay strong. So it's actually muscle mass is the key to maintaining bone mass, which is really important for aging well. And this all links back to the whole, like, you know, like hip fractures and stuff for, you know, older people as well, comes back to how much muscle they've got there supporting them and holding their balance and all that.
100%. Yeah, cool. And that was directly from the review. So anyone that added that in on Wednesday, thank you. That's why we added it. Cool. So where do we want to go with this from here, team? That first bit was what we missed on Wednesday and want to make sure we really added it. But the big focus of today is, as the wrap up of the 3-part workshop series, is around making sure that we build a goal that's more than just in our head, but really locking in a bit of a foundation. So it gets through, it weathers the storm a wee bit more, right? I think if we haven't properly defined where we're going, then you might end up someplace else. There's a really nice way to look at sort of locking in what that goal really is. And I think many of us have got very, very good at putting everyone else first. And we're not really that good at feeling like the things we want for ourselves that are important enough to put them in our day, or that we find the time. And it's simply because we're finding time last once everything else is being done. So this becomes a really nice way for us to tell you that you deserve it, and that you should be feeling good in your day, and that everyone else gets a better version of you once you do feel good. So hopefully we can just start to look at this beyond the lens of willpower and motivation, and feeling knowing that that's very fleeting. I think this allows us to just dive into how we can make this a bit more of a stronger anchor. All right. Any thoughts on that, Maddie, before we go?
Yeah, we love to accumulate knowledge, eh? There's so much information out there now, and that is available to us on the internet. And there's that saying that knowledge is power, but I'd say there that knowledge isn't power, it's potential power. It only becomes power when we have a way of actually putting it into an action step and implementing it in our life. So that's what this next step is about. We've given you a whole lot of things to work on, but which one are we actually going to take from all that to actually start working on, and what's that going to look like day to day?
Yeah. Cool. So the big one we want to start on, we've played around with this a little bit, is we want to start with values. And I think it's going to be a really important part, because it's a hard question to ask, which is a good thing. Most people don't ask the questions that are hard, and that's why they feel they're stuck in the spot they are. So values are kind of like a lighthouse, right? They give signals of giving us direction, meaning, and purpose. And I think being clear of it, living in your values, you start to get very clear when you are. But if you're not sure what they are, then it just starts to be quite vague. You're not quite sure where you're going. So the first part I'd really like to look at is just for people on the call, I'd love to, if you know what these are, then simply comment in the chat. Tell me what your top three are. If you haven't had this conversation before, I've given you a little bit of an example of some of the top ones here. I'm not quite sure how many are on the page, that typically are top values. And I'd love to know if we just write them down, and the power of writing them down solidifies that a little bit more than it just circling in your head. So this will be an interactive aspect, guys. I do need you to make sure you're involved in this, and you'll get out what you put in. Let's see what those values are, and then we can really start to tie it back to why we're here in the first place. Cool. Faith, family, and love. Lydia, thank you. That was quick too.
That's real quick.
Authenticity, integrity, and compassion. Beautiful.
Nice.
Integrity, happiness, and family. I see that in your post as well, Joe. It's awesome. Family, integrity, freedom, beautiful, integrity, happiness, respect. Yep. Love, respect, trustworthiness. I like that one. Freedom, connection, authenticity, joy, learning, security, integrity, connection, and compassion. Integrity, stability, and authenticity.
Integrity is coming through a lot here.
Yeah, cool. And identifying if you're living in those values or not as well. Super. We look in as well. Achievement, family, happiness. Cool. Awesome, guys. Thank you for sharing that one. So where I want to go with this is tie that a little bit deeper into what's your why. And I know that's a massive question, but if we can just start to wrap this into, why did you turn up to this workshop, right? What's one reason that you turned up? And don't just say information. I want to know, what are the reasons that you really joined to this workshop, and how can we really see what that looks like? If you can write it in the chat, that's amazing. If you want to write it down in your own notebook or something, that's fine too. But really take the time to write these down and get clear on what these are, so we can really start to anchor in some action steps in the last 3 days. Cool. Change health to be happier and stay active with my boys. Beautiful. To help myself and others understand the journey better, to improve with my enjoyment of life, how I can become a better me. Beautiful, Trish. Authenticity, growth, and family. Cool. I think it was the first one, but beautiful. Cool. I'm going to give you a couple more here just because this isn't one I want to gloss over. Lydia, awesome. Having 3 daughters and number of women in my life, I want to be a positive influence to them, strong and full of energy to do all I do. Beautiful.
That's cool.
Yeah, cool. Awesome, guys. Those ones are really, really good. And it looks like some of you are very, very clear on this one. If anyone hasn't written it down, just really make sure you're asking yourself that question first so we can dive into the next one. So I'm going to take this one level deeper, or maybe even a way zoom out from this, because I think many of us start to get blurry on what that why really is, because we're only looking 2 inches in front of our face. If we take the step back and actually zoom out to what we're truly looking at and what this looks like over the next 20, 30, 40 plus years, I think it's really taken the time to address what do we really want that to look like. So this is one I'd like to give you a little bit more time to actually think about. I'm just going to make sure I've got the wee sound thingy on here. Is just give yourself about 30, 40 seconds here to imagine what that looks like at your 80th birthday. Who would be there? What would they be saying about you? More importantly, what mark would you want to leave on them? I'll give you a good 40 seconds here, team, and I just want to really let you think about this question and what does that really look like for you? What are they saying at your 80th birthday? Just writing a couple things down, guys. That's 30 seconds. Well done. Once you've got a really clear answer for this one, just write down in the chat a couple of times. Got some fast ones in the room, so we'll give you another 20 seconds here, team, but good to see this one getting on the page. There's some really cool answers in there as well, guys. Lydia, Laura, yeah, cool. Pretty expensive stuff. It's good, guys. So it's just taking the time to look at this through. I think zooming out is always a really beneficial lens that we look at, and certainly through some of the coactive coaching that we really recommend within some of our coaches and members, is taking the time to really realize that you have a lot of those answers inside yourself. It's just taking the time to look at it through the right questions, and sometimes brings them to the surface. So really, really cool to see. So next step we really want to go through here, and this is a really important one. I actually had this conversation with a coach about 30 minutes ago, with a client 30 minutes ago, is imagine yourself setting the goal of running every day and you make it happen, right? Except it hurts your knees. Technically, you've achieved your goal, but you're not happy because you're in pain and this won't become a long-term habit. What if instead of you define the goal in terms of how you felt instead? So maybe the real reason you want to run every day is you want to feel fit, you want your clothes to fit really well, and you want to have more energy, right? That becomes a really big shift in what the goal is. And then you start to get really locked in on what the goal is, but you can become flexible on the outcome. And I think that's really, really flexible on the approach. And I think that's a really, really important shift to make sure this is something long-term, making sure that you're working around the obstacles and signals that your body is giving you along that way, knowing what you're really here for, and then being flexible in the approach to get there. Because if we're just locked in on the running, it just becomes like a kind of a willpower game of, well, I just need to keep doing it, right? But we're kind of missing the signals our body's giving us. So to dive one step deeper, I just want to really get you to be very clear on defining that destination, not on the outcome, but what do you feel? How do you want to feel in that place? have a real think about yourself, about your habits, around the way you're living, right? And really look at it through the lens of how you want to feel. This will make a really, really big difference to get away from just simply the willpower component and getting much closer towards this long-term drive. I will give you a minute or two on this, team, and really start to dive into what does that feel like moving forward. If you need a bit of a hand on this one, look at it through the five lenses we've talked about over the last 2 or 3 days, right? What's that look like from sleep? What does that look like from how you feel on a day-to-day basis? The digestion side of things, stress and fuel. This can be a nice one to look at it. I really want you to find that why. Cool. This one I would like to see in the chat, guys. I'd love to see what this looks like. Getting it written down always makes a difference. I'll read out a couple of these, Mandy.
Yeah. Energetic, strong, and living life to the full, vibrant energy to a full plate.
It only helps if you say it energetically, Mandy.
I'm trying to work out which ones are related to this one. Are we able to put up the five dials slide there, Ollie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Stronger, more consistent energy, balanced moods, more muscle tone, and resilience is what it looks like. Cool.
Beautiful.
Strong, powerful, excited, energized, ready to tackle more.
Yeah, that one you can feel, right? I think that's a really, really good one. When we get closer to that, it makes a really big difference.
Fulfilled and powerful in my own worth. Nice.
Awesome.
Happy, energetic, strong, fit, healthy, actually living life, packing in lots of new adventures. When the body's all in sync for me equals happiness. I want to have a really balanced life where I'm looking after myself. So I have great energy, feel my body well and sleep well. After having so many years of being weak after surgery, I want to be strong. Nice. And you can totally build back.
Yeah, I'm in that category.
Holly knows about that.
Yeah, still working on that. I've got another appointment with a surgeon on Monday.
Oh.
Mm.
What have we got here? Proud of accomplishment, strong, healthy, energized, positive attitude, feeling anchored to a way of life that supports me to be free of preventable health issues, therefore free to live and feel good and have choices about what I do well in the future. Joe, so much depth there. That's super cool. I like that. That preventable health issues being key there, that there's so much that we can think is just a part of aging, but actually they're completely preventable or avoidable or potentially avoidable if we do the right things now.
Yeah, and that's one thing I quite enjoy about working with more women more than men. We tend to, you tend to think about that a little bit earlier.
Or it gets so far down the track.
Yeah.
Proud that I allowed myself the time and energy to better myself, which pays off in the long run, waking up refreshed and energized, healthy and strong. Nice.
Awesome. This is looking really good. Cool. So this is the first part. Like, just thank you for joining me on this and taking the time to go through breaking this down. I think this is the first question that nobody is answering once they have it. And as Mandy said really, really well before, is just getting past simply information. And then what does that look like and why is it important to actually applying it to our life? But I want to go one level deeper to make sure that we do really anchor this in moving forward. So the important part, I've skipped a couple of things, is really talking about the carrot and the stick and understand that we can do this through a place that becomes a lot more positive than simply beating ourselves up about not doing things, okay? At a very simple level, humans run away from pain and towards pleasure. It's a natural behavior, and you can use carrots and sticks to hack your desires and keep you on track to your goals. But I think doing it intentionally so that you're not just letting the mental chatter cause this guilt and shame to try keep you on track. I think when we do it intentionally, we can make sure that it's something that feels like a positive reinforcement rather than something that we're beating ourselves down for, right? Guilt is a wasted emotion. I'd much rather spend some time on creating that reinforcement towards what you enjoy, okay? So the first one I want to look at is some of those sticks. Like, if you don't achieve the goal, how you feel, how you want to feel, what happens, right? And I think this is a really important part. Although it feels kind of negative and it's not something we like talking about, I think it's important to just reinforce why it changes. And if you struggle with this, just simply ask the question, if you went 6 months and you continued 6 months the way you are or didn't look after your health, what happens? Why does that matter? All right. I think it's really important to just look at this through the lens of making sure that we make change, and making sure we make it for more than a week is really, really important. Okay. So just take a couple of minutes to write a couple of things down there. Maybe we've invested in this program, so we want to make the most of it. Maybe we've got kids that are looking up to us. We want to be a role model. Like, just getting an awareness of some of these deterrents to make sure we stay on track. All right. I'll give you 30, 40 seconds here. Does anything come to mind for you there, Mandy? Just because I think it's getting away from, you know, I'm gonna stand in the mirror and I'm not gonna like what I see. Like, I think that's a really negative, positive image, and moving towards better sticks that are actually kind of positive, but in a reinforcing way. Have you got anything come to mind?
One thing that I've noticed more recently, I don't drink that much alcohol, but one thing I have noticed is when I have the odd drink on the weekend, then following week, regardless of time of the month, my mood is always lower. Mm-hmm. And I'm a pretty positive person, and I like to feel happy and I like to be positive, and I don't really like to be moody or depressed or anything like that. And so I really, really noticed that. And yep. It's actually a surprisingly good deterrent from really even wanting to have a drink that much, where I'm like, I don't want to waste my next week on this thing that I could do today.
Mm. Well, that comes back to this emotional food side of things that we're looking at quite a lot right now, right? Is it, are we enjoying the taste of the food in the next 2 minutes, or are we enjoying the result of what I ate for the next 2 hours or 4 hours based on how I feel? And it kind of becomes this association of delayed gratification in a way.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right. So we're giving yourself a little bit of time there. I really like that one, Mandy. We want to flip that on its head. Let's talk about the positive here. Let's write down three carrots. And this is a really, really important part that I don't think many of us do very well, me included, definitely me included, is try create those mini celebrations, those rewards in your day. And please don't make this like, I've gone for a run, now I'm going to have a cake. It's more a case of how we can have those little celebrations in a day to just say, like, well done for doing the thing. I think when we don't have that positive association with doing something, coming back to at a very basic level, we won't do it long term, right? If we have to do the exercise and it just feels like suffering, it's not going to be something we do often, and we're going to find everything else to do before we do it. But if we start to create those little celebrations, we start to do it more often. And it could simply be, I really enjoy my morning coffee, but I'm going to go for a walk first, and then I get my coffee, and I'm going to really look forward to that. And then over time, you might find that the walk itself becomes that enjoyment. You get more energy from it, and then you don't need the coffee, whatever, right? Not that the coffee needs to be the problem, but just creating those mini celebrations, those little mini pat in the back moments through your day, is a really, really big part of you staying on track long term. And this consistency conversation that will always come through. If you've got an example of this one, I always really enjoy some of the creative ways people bring these mini celebrations up that aren't the Christmas cake. If you could just write a couple of those in the chat, I'd love to know what that looks like for you. When you manage to find a way to, you know, whether it's around an exercise component, whether it's about eating and fueling the day better, if it's trying to get to sleep on time, what's a little mini celebration that you create for yourself that's positive towards your goals that allows you to feel the way you want to feel?
Trish, struggling with the carrots. There's a couple of things there with the struggling with the carrot idea, the mini celebration thing. Is it that we are just way too easy? It's way too easy to beat ourselves up rather than looking at the positive. Is that why we're struggling with it? Or is it struggling to know where you define where you put that mini celebration? Is it after each little habit that you're building, or do you wait till you've achieved a certain longer goal and put it then? Or is, where's the struggle there, do you think?
That was Lee, yeah. The other easy way to look at it is, usually it's a lot easier to find what you don't want than it is to find what you do. And I always find that conversation kind of fun, but taking the time to look at, if you struggle with the carrot idea, it's simply a case of, what do you really want? And then what's the opposite of that? If I want to feel energetic and calm and focused in my day, then the opposite of that is feeling sluggish, like I can't focus and I'm not really giving my best, right? So it can become one and the same.
Mm. struggling to know what a mini celebration to choose or do. Yeah.
Mm. Well, if we go through a couple of these here, you know, Trish mentioned the coffee or breakfast and long walks, you know, social chat in the morning, the 20-minute workout in the morning. Obviously, you've associated the workout with actually being the enjoyable part, which is amazing. Having a nice omelet, right? Taking the time to actually just sit down and appreciate a meal rather than running out the door with a smoothie or nothing. I think can be a really, really nice way to just appreciate for what it is. I think can be a really nice shift as well. Cool. Mickey as well. I like the idea of fitting into my favorite clothes again. Well, it's a really nice way to look at how I feel and what that associates with in a way that I'm working towards an actual tangible target as well. That's a really cool one. Cool. All right. So one little thing that I want to go through here is, Joe, I'd love to get your thoughts on this one, but I think through this whole process, it's very much a understanding why you're here, understanding and defining what that goal really is, but sometimes getting clear on where that struggle is right now and what are those steps moving through, I think can sometimes feel kind of hazy. If it's been something you've been struggling with for a while, or, you know, how does this apply to me? I think this could be really, really important. So I might just bring Joe up. Where is Joe? Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Hello. I want to bring you on just because I think, you know, obviously you've been a member with Body Research for about 6 or so months now. And I think you've had a really good story because it really started from that place, or maybe even transitioned to that space of how you want to feel on a day-to-day basis rather than just like a tangible or external outcome. If you don't mind, would I be able to ask you, like, before starting the program, what were the things you were struggling with? What were those things that you really wanted help with?
Everything. but it was everything. I didn't sleep. I was awake and getting up 5, 6, 7 times a night. I over-exercised and I under-ate, but I didn't find that out until I started the program. But my guess, everything, weight gain, hormones, and having been to the doctor and have been told that everything was within range and you are normal, but feeling really not like my normal self, not like I had for years. This has been going on since 2016, so it's been a really long time for me. And then putting on weight and doing more exercise and cutting my calories back and then putting on even more weight, and it was just this horrible cycle that I was in, and I didn't know how to improve it.
And just that space you said, if you're trying to restrict food, you were training all the time and the body just wasn't changing.
And getting and putting on more weight, like my middle was getting bigger, and just feeling, losing my confidence in myself as well, like when you're trying so hard and not getting any results whatsoever.
Yeah. So going through some of the changes, and it'd be interesting to know if it's some of the ones we went through in this program so far, the workshop through the week, what some of those initial changes that really helped you maybe just expose the idea of you were working out really hard and maybe focusing on the wrong things.
Yeah. And I was totally focusing. I was always focused on input and output rather than what I needed to focus on was my sleep, because I didn't sleep either, but I didn't allow myself to have a good sleep. I hadn't set myself up to achieve that either. So my normal sleep routine before I started the program is I'd go to bed between 12 and 1 o'clock a.m. and I'd be up around about 6 o'clock, and when I was over exercising, I used to get up at 5 and go to a morning class. So I was only in bed for 4 to 5 hours a night, and probably not sleeping, because I'd be up 4 or 5 times, 6, 7 times a night, going to the bathroom and all that sort of thing as well. So coming into the program, my change was I'm in bed by 10:30 at night, off my screens, and setting myself up for having a good sleep, doing my deep breathing while I'm in bed and my stretching and relaxing. I guess I had to make sleep a priority, and making sleep a priority for me changed everything.
So a lot of those sort of non-negotiables in the morning or night routine, and just taking the time to wind down.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, cool. So obviously deeper, and obviously you talked to Mandy directly about a lot of the blood side of things and understanding what's actually happening a little bit deeper down. Just with your experience as a whole, just briefly, you know, obviously you've had multiple coaches and specialists through the program. What's your experience of the program overall?
It's been life-changing. And I don't say that, it's been life-changing. It's lightly. It's literally, I'm going to get emotional now as well. It's literally, I feel like it saved my life.
Awesome.
I'm going to get emotional. But it's changed everything, my resilience to everything. I have a lot of stress in my life that I can't manage because it's there. I just have to deal with it at the moment. But I feel being in the program, I can manage it a lot better. I'm way more happy. I'm way less grumpy and yelly at my kids.
Mm.
It goes across everything. It's improves my relationship with my husband, my relationship with my kids, how I manage my business, how I work with people. It's everything.
Oh, thank you, Joe. And you've obviously got a ton of comments thanking you for sharing as well in the chat and taking the time to just realize that you don't, you know, it's not compartmentalized to like, I'm just not feeling shitty and it's going to be fine over here. It really does impact all these.
And it does. My biggest thing was, is actually the information's basic, but you have to put the work into it and you have to implement it in your life. I had this conversation with my mother-in-law, who's going through menopause at the moment. And she said, and she was asking me about it. She was like, you look so good and your skin's so good and your eyes are really clear. And I told her, and she was like, I can't give up coffee for 16 weeks. That's just not going to happen. And it was all these, and that's what she said to me. I just can't do it. And I said, you can. You just have to want to.
Mm.
You've got to want that change. And when you get it, like I get up every morning at 6:15, 6 o'clock, and I go for my morning walk on my own without my children. And every morning, it happens Saturday and Sunday now, and that's the time I get up and I can't help it. My body wants to do it now because it feels so good doing it.
Mm.
And it's the good. And the other thing I did learn from this as well, I used to always walk and I'd walk a million miles an hour to get to do my exercise and get my steps in and do this. But now I don't. I walk for pleasure and I walk because it's really good for your mental health. So that's another big change for me as well, being here, that I smash my workouts out, don't get me wrong on that, but my walking now has become something that I definitely do for pleasure.
Yeah. Mm. And it's understanding those intangibles a wee bit, isn't it? Like if you feel good and you're digesting food and you're sleeping well, you're like you're working with your body again.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think as a couple of people have sent in the chat as well, that's a huge and powerful message of hopefully wrapping up the last couple of days, is you don't just push the nutrition and exercise levers harder. You want to work with that whole human and just start to address a couple of those bits. So thank you very much. Mandy, do you have any thoughts on that one?
No, I think you've got good results, Joe, because you did put in the effort. And that's the thing, is that you actually took those bits of information, like you said, is simple. And that's something which I actually say to people a lot, is that nutrition science itself is complex, but the application is always simple. We just actually need to make the commitment to doing the stuff. Yeah. And it's often the things that we don't think, like for you, you know, with just the slowing down and just walking for that mental health component and walking for the enjoyment rather than feeling like you have to crack the whip all the time and do more, more, more. And that's so relevant when we're having this whole perimenopause, menopause discussion, and knowing that the changes in hormones just give rise to these higher levels of anxiety and higher levels of reduced capacity to deal with stress and stuff. So if we're just cracking the whip harder and harder, we're just literally trying to push water uphill, and it's not going to do us any good in the long run.
100%. Yeah. And by the way, for everyone on the call freaking out about coffee, it's not something we need to remove for 16 weeks, but if it comes down to the individual, it's certainly something that we can look at. But I think the underlying message there is you see an obstacle rather than a solution, right? And I think that's been something that you've done really well with. I got one last question for you, Joe. if there was someone on this call watching, getting an idea of maybe where you were currently or where you were before, and kind of thinking about the program a wee bit, what would you say to them?
Just do it. Make the commitment and you're worth it. You're worth the input and the energy and the time to live your best life, pretty much.
Yeah.
And Ollie, we talked about on one of our calls a little while ago, where you'd rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10. And I came into this thinking, oh, sitting at about an 8. I was thinking, yeah, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm pretty healthy. And yeah, at the moment, I'd say I'm at about an 8, 9 now. Some days I'm a 10. Back when I started, I would have been at a 2. But you think you're okay, but it's not until you actually feel amazing that you realize how low you were, if that makes sense.
100%. You think it's an 8 and you put it in comparison to how well you could actually feel. That's a bit different. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think the best part of that as well is, as Trish has mentioned, is just like you are worth it, and taking the time to add that deserve piece back in there of just putting you back in your day is hopefully an overarching theme of this entire conversation. And actually, just for everyone jumping on the call, just appreciate you for jumping on the call, taking the time out of your day for you. You can all get stuck in the busyness of life, and taking the time to just anchor that back in is going to make a pretty huge difference. So thank you to all of you for jumping on. Hopefully today has been a really nice way to look at how your environment is a big part of your motivation, and taking the time to just connect with smart humans. And as I learned the hard way, no one is as smart as everyone. So taking the time to just get these little bits off, Joe and Mandy and everyone on the call, is a nice way to just look at what that next step is. I can't replicate what you just said, Mandy, but essentially science was complex, but application is nice and simple, I think, is a really, really nice way to put it. So hopefully that gives you a couple of next action steps, team. It sounds like, if you're interested in diving into this a little bit more, if you do want that support, that structure a little bit more from us as a team, I will chuck a link in the chat for you to just go straight in and book in a call with our team, to book in with us directly. We just want to see what that looks like mapping out either way, whether that's something you can join us with one-on-one, or whether we can just give you a couple of first steps for free, absolutely fine either way. But I just want to make sure that we can walk through that process of diving into the application aspect of this after giving you all the information on the other side of things, which hopefully is helpful. And obviously, everyone for jumping on the call, thanks so much for joining. Any other thoughts there, Mandy?
No.
Cool. We got two Joes telling you to do it, so it must be good. Cool. We're going to stay on for a couple more minutes. I'll say 10, 15 minutes. If there's any specific questions you want me to answer or Mandy to answer about particular scenarios that you're working through right now, Joe, again, thanks so much for joining. You've really touched a lot of hearts and really, I think, made this really real for a lot of people. So thank you so much. And Mandy, as usual, just bringing everything you have. I will just pop you off the screen there, Joe, but thanks so much for jumping on. Is there any particular questions that you want us to answer just to finish off here? Otherwise, please use that link to book in with our coaches. You'll get 40 minutes of their undivided attention to dive into your actual situation, building out a bit of a game plan from there for you as well. Okay, so that is a free link. Just book in for a time of next couple of days and we can help you out there as well. But looks like we answered all the questions, Mandy, so I think we did a good job. So.
Sometimes these scenarios just create a whole lot more questions, because it gets you thinking those deeper layers.
It does, yeah. Awesome, guys. Well, this one is a bit of a short one. We did get through all of the content somehow, and lovely to have all of you joining us for day 3. That's a wrap. Lovely to see you all, and we will talk again next time.